Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. Hey guys, I'm Georgia and welcome back for another episode in my mystery series, where today we're covering a Jane Doe case from here in the UK, an unidentified woman dubbed the Angel in the Meadow. The full story around this Doe and her discovery is a fascinating one. Her body was only discovered in 2010, but it's believed that she'd been dead for decades, possibly dying at some point in the 70s or 80s. Despite an extensive investigation, national and international, there has never been a single answer as to who Jane Doe is or who is responsible for her death. As you know, I spend a lot of my time covering and researching Doe cases, and considering this is a case in the UK, it's not one I had ever heard of, and that tells me that I need to share the story and a lot more people need to know the details. Despite the police saying an extensive investigation has been done, and it has to be fair, I don't think the word has been spread enough, because if I haven't heard about this case, I'm sure there are a lot more people out there as well who also haven't. To get a full overview of this case, we need to talk a bit about the area in which Jane Doe was found, Angel Meadow, hence her name, a public park immediately outside the centre of Manchester. For anyone familiar with the area, it's moments away from Manchester Victoria Station and very close to the Arndale Centre. Whilst now Angel Meadow is a green space amid a busy city, it hasn't always been that peaceful. In 1788, All Angels Church was built, and the land next to the church soon became the largest cemetery in Manchester, mostly used for the burials of people who couldn't afford proper funerals or had no family burial plots. Whilst the area of Angels Meadow was originally built as an affluent housing community, when the Industrial Revolution hit, it quickly fell into disrepair. It was overcrowded and undercared for. Author Dean Kirby even wrote a book literally entitled Angel Meadow, Victorian Britain's Most Savage Slum, just to give you an idea of how awful this area was. The graveyard very quickly became overfilled with the bodies of 40,000 of the most poor dead people. Disease spread through the sheer amount of rats living with the people in the squalor. It's said that children used skulls for games of football in the graveyards. Friedrich Engels, the German philosopher and co-author of the Communist Manifesto, described Angel Meadow as hell on earth. What today is the public park of Angel Meadow is actually what used to be the graveyard. Every day people are walking over the top of those 40,000 bodies buried underneath. So, for this reason, it wouldn't generally be considered strange or unusual for workmen to come across bodies whilst working on this ground. But on the 25th of January 2010, workmen were working on a big redevelopment scheme called NOMA, what was intended to revitalise the northern part of the Manchester city centre. NOMA, north of Manchester. They were working on an old car park building in between Angel Street, Danzig Street and Miller Street when a skull was spotted, before the rest of the body was soon uncovered wrapped in a carpet. This area and this car park have been pretty much untouched, unchanged since the 1960s, and Jane Doe was found squeezed into a gap between the wooden fence panels surrounding the car park and a wall. It was clear that she'd been there for quite a while, and the workmen knew immediately that she wasn't one of the bodies that had been here since the Victorian times. This was a bit more serious than that. Jane Doe was actually still partially clothed when she was found, in a blue jumper and a blue bra. A distinctive 70s style pinafore dress with large buttons and an unusual design on the front was found near the body. The pinafore dress was torn up, suggesting that it may have been ripped off the body, and it was found along with a single black stiletto. A handbag was also found nearby, and she had been covered with a plain blue carpet, whilst a patterned orange carpet was also found with the body. According to an article in the Mirror, the carpet she was covered with appeared to be from a car, cut to fit a Ford Cortina with a hole for the gear stick. A piece of Guinness memorabilia was also found nearby. In the aftermath of the discovery, Detective Chief Inspector Jeff McMahon of the Greater Manchester Police said in a statement, This woman's death is highly suspicious, and we have a team of trained detectives trying to establish who she is and what has happened to her. We are reviewing all relevant missing person reports in an attempt to identify her. But if you have any knowledge about the items of clothing we have recovered, I would urge you to get in touch. Until we are able to establish further facts, it would be inappropriate to speculate on how long this woman has been dead or how exactly she died. Her profile on the Missing Persons Unit website now has further details about her, saying that she was definitely female, aged between 18 and 30 years old, but more testing showed that she might have been born between 1950 and 1954. Her ethnicity is unknown. A lot of the earlier articles state that she was Caucasian, but it seems that they don't know this for sure. And she was between 5'1" and 5'6". She also had a very distinguishable feature in that her upper right premolar was missing, something that would have been very obvious when she smiled. I wonder how they're able to tell this tooth was missing before her death and not that it had just fallen out of the skull over the years. Google turned up nothing when I googled that, so if anybody knows the answer, I'd be fascinated to know. Jane Doe also had a number of fillings. Initially, the death was treated as non-suspicious, which, whilst I understand why, is crazy to me as she clearly hadn't died in the spot she was found and wrapped herself in carpet. But when the post-mortem results came through, it was very clear that she had suffered an unbelievably violent death, with a fractured neck, collarbone and jaw. Although it couldn't be confirmed, it's also speculated that she was sexually assaulted, as none of the clothing for her bottom half was found at the scene. A verdict of unlawful killing was recorded. Now knowing the details about her death, it became even more urgent for investigators to find out the identity of this woman. The police had a team of highly trained detectives trying to establish who Jane Doe was and what happened to her. Towards the end of February, so a month after her disappearance, an appeal was made on BBC's Crime Watch for any information about her identity. Detective Chief Inspector Jeff McMahon said they had a great response from the public following the appeal and they were reviewing all the information they'd received, but no one had come forward yet with an actual name. In the early days of the investigation, they compared dental records to three women they knew had gone missing from the Greater Manchester area, and they were Helen Sage, who went missing in 1997, Zoe Simpson, who went missing in 1996, and Helen McCourt, who went missing in 1988. None of them were a match, and it was thought that due to the clothing that Jane Doe had gone missing potentially decades before they had, as I said, probably in the 1970s, maybe in the 1980s. A BBC article from May 2011 states that detectives revisited old murder inquiries in their search and even tested DNA against two convicted serial killers who were known to be active at the time as thought Jane Doe died, Peter Tobin and Ronald Castree. Peter Tobin is a Scottish convicted serial killer thought to have had at least three victims, you've probably heard of him before, and Ronald Castree was convicted in 2007 for the murder of an 11-year-old girl in Rochdale, Greater Manchester. There was no link found to either killer, and I could find no information on exactly how they had DNA to test. Was it found on the clothing, potentially? I'm not entirely sure. Police also examined the DNA of 400 people who had similar profiles to Jane Doe. As a result of their inquiries into this case, detectives were actually able to reunite six people with their families, eliminate 21 missing persons, and locate a further 46 women. So there is a slim silver lining there. An anthropology professor was able to create a forensic facial reconstruction and image from this woman's skull, which was aired on Crime Watch in May 2011. This reconstruction is a little bit terrifying looking if you ask me. It doesn't look like any woman I've ever seen. It looks a bit too dead, it's not very lifelike, but then again, they're working on very little. Again, of course, nothing really came from this. The next year, in November 2012, police announced the search had been narrowed down to a list of 21 or 22 women after the search was extended internationally. Detectives had families from Holland and Texas get in touch with them, and they'd made numerous trips to Ireland in search of an identity. A strong possible candidate for Jane Doe's identity came after a family from Tanzania, Africa contacted them. A new detective chief inspector, so now Joanne Rawlinson, was now leading the probe and said, "One family contacted us from Tanzania and we have good reason to believe this may be the right woman. However, we are having trouble obtaining DNA samples from the authorities over there and these issues can be problematic." I assume nothing ever really came of this lead because that's all the information there is. In January 2015, 5 years after her discovery, the body of the angel in the meadow, as she'd been dubbed in the media, was finally buried in an unmarked plot in a state-paid service attended only by the two Greater Manchester detectives who'd been working her case for the past few years. Importantly, she was buried, not cremated, so they can exhume her body in the future if further testing needs to be done, or if she is finally identified. But burial didn't mean they were giving up. Her case was now being run by the Cold Case Unit, who were trying to find her family through DNA work, with DC Michaela Clinch telling the Manchester Evening News, "We have a DNA profile of the lady and we are doing familial DNA work to try to identify her. That work is ongoing as we speak." Now this is an interesting concept because we all know that I talk about a lot of Doe cases from over in the USA, and genetic familial testing is kind of a given for cases over the pond nowadays. However, there's a lot of red tape involved with this kind of stuff here in the UK. I dove into this in great detail in my video on the Clochanorgue Forest Man, which I will leave linked down below if you're interested. But in a nutshell, we don't really have anything like the DNA Doe Project or Othram here in the UK. We don't have people dedicating their time to the identification of does, and there is a reason for that. The government made a whole report on the ethics of using genetic genealogy to solve crime, and it basically raises questions of consent, because once you give consent for your own DNA to be used in this way, you're then also revealing sensitive genetic information about family members as well, past, present and future, people who haven't even been born yet. These people haven't consented to this, it's an invasion of their privacy. Genetic testing like this isn't really approved in the UK yet for wide usage. Maybe they'll eventually come up with a workaround, but honestly, I do understand why there's hesitation. There's a lot of ethical questions around it all. But you've already said that familial DNA is being used in this case, I hear you say. It is. Familial searching is approved to be done in only the most serious of unsolved crimes, when literally every other avenue has been exhausted, which in this case, they have been. In 2018-2019, for example, only 17 cases were authorised to make use of this technique. It is so rarely done. So, this familial search has been underway since 2015, it seems, but as far as we're aware, they haven't made any matches yet. I also suspect there's a much smaller database for genealogical investigators to follow in this case, as we don't really have a database here like GEDmatch, where the regular person can voluntarily upload their DNA information. In terms of more up-to-date leads and stories about who this woman could be, I found only one article with the Manchester Evening News, in which a man called Alec Whittle remembers being in a club in the early 70s. It was a club in Longsight on Stanley Grove, a road to the southeast of Manchester city centre. He said it was a very quiet night in the club, and Alec had taken a shine to one of the barmaids that night, who he got chatting to, and she ended up showing him bruises on her neck and shoulder. She said that she was afraid. Alec said, "She showed me all these injuries down her face and shoulder. She said she had no relatives here. I wanted to help her, I wanted to take her home to my parents' house, but she refused and said she couldn't." He specifically remembered seeing a pinafore dress hung up by the bar, the same as the one discovered with the body in 2010. Alec is now convinced this woman went on to become the angel in the meadow, saying he never stopped thinking about her over the decades. Although he does say that the facial reconstruction looked nothing like the barmaid that night, who he says was mousy-haired and medium build and very attractive. She wasn't local, but she was English. Honestly, bar the pinfall, there's not much about this story that suggests that this random barmaid did become the angel in the meadow, but it's more of a lead than anything else we have. There's also a bit of speculation that she could have been a victim of Christopher Halliwell, but from what I can gather, he was born in 1964, so if he was responsible for this crime, it's likely it would have happened further into the 80s than investigators think, as he would have been so young. There was also a killer called James Lloyd, who was known as the Rotherham Shoe Rapist, who was known to keep one shoe from a victim as a trophy. Jane Doe was found with just one shoe. There's just as much chance of these serial killers being involved in this as there is literally anyone else at this point. There's so little information and evidence to go from. Jane Doe was buried in Southern Cemetery in Manchester on the back of Nell Lane in the lime section of the cemetery, just in case anyone local to the area wants to go and pay their respects. I think I'll have a wander to see her next time I'm up in Manchester. Anyone with any information in this case are urged to call the police on 101. All reports can be made anonymously via Crime Stoppers, the number for which I'll leave in the description box. There's also an online form for information on the missing persons website. If you live around Manchester and your family live around Manchester, perhaps you can share this story with your parents, assuming that you're part of the majority of my viewers that are around my age. I'd never heard about this case until I was researching for new cases to cover, and I assume there are so many more people who have also never heard of it. I have no doubt that there's a family out there who are wondering what happened to their loved one. As the head of the Cold Case Review Unit, Martin Bromley, said in 2015, "This lady might have been put out of somebody's mind temporarily, but she will never be forgotten. There will be a family member out there somewhere who knows who she is and who can unlock the key and identify her. We are determined to get a just outcome for the victim and we will never give up hope." As I said, this case is still active. They are still actively looking for her name and her killer, so any information will be vital. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys.